V-47. GCC Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. The reception area of the GCC's imposing headquarters was abuzz with activity as Dan and Emma made their way inside via the secure VIP entrance, and it was immediately clear that this activity was urgent and had just kicked off. Dan resisted the urge to point his frighteningly powerful finger at any of the hectically occupied workers, but Emma's quick glance at her phone brought the explanation. Ding Ziyang had just announced his intention to publicly display the triangles in only 36 hours' time. Neither said anything, and the chaperone who led them to Chairman Godfrey's high office had been instructed to remain similarly silent. It thus came as a major surprise when they knocked on the office door and encountered only President Slater on the other side. "We've been expecting you," she said, speaking to Dan with a warmth that was either genuinely felt or incredibly convincing in its effort to appear so. "William should be back in a few minutes. He's gone to brief our frontline media liaison teams on how to reply to inquiries about Ding's latest comments until we issue a full response. I assume you've seen the news?" Dan subtly placed his fingers in the initiation position, establishing a one-way thought-reading link-up with the President of the United States. He had major ethical concerns about utilizing his new ability without the knowledge and consent of the other party, particularly when they weren't a hostile foe, but on this occasion he felt that the ends justified the means so completely that it would be irresponsible not to make the most of what he had been given. "What do you think's going on with all of this?" he asked. Immediately, he heard thoughts of helpless ignorance. She didn't know, and she was dearly hoping Dan could help. "I really don't know," Slater replied, vocalizing the thoughts Dan had already heard loud and clear. "I've been hoping the messengers told you something, and that you're about to tell me whatever it was, because short of that, we're stuck." Dan studied the president's expression. She had been openly honest, stating in blunt terms exactly what she'd been thinking. He turned his body towards Emma, then took a few steps towards her and whispered, "I want to tell her. She's being totally straight and she'll be way more likely to help us set up the meetings with Cole and Poppy if she knows why I'm really doing it. She can help us convince Godfrey without him having to know too. For once, I think we should trust my gut on this. We're in his office and she's here alone. Let's make the most of it." "Don't say a word," Emma replied, winking slowly before removing her phone from her pocket. She typed a message as she walked to Slater's side. "Dan will relay what the messengers told him as soon as Godfrey gets here," she explained to her, mindful that the room very likely housed hidden recording equipment. "But here's a still image from our home security system, showing a flash. Crazy, huh?" Slightly slow on the uptake, Dan walked over to see what Emma was talking about. There had been a flash, of course, but he didn't know or understand why Emma might have saved a shot of it to her phone. The expression on Slater's face didn't reflect something so relatively mundane either, and when Dan looked down over their shoulders to look at the phone's screen, it all made sense. The typed message from Emma was clear. "Be cool, don't react. The messengers gave Dan a limited version of their ability to hear each other's thoughts, and he can hear other people's thoughts. We can use this together, but right now we trust you to be responsible more than we trust Godfrey. Don't tell anyone, please. Now think of a 4-digit number, but don't say anything." Emma handed the phone to Dan. Once again, his overwhelmed mind didn't immediately grasp what she was getting at. But as Slater raised her eyebrows at him, it clicked in his mind. Since the connection was still active from his initial listening, these were the imprecise words in his mind when considering a process he couldn't pretend to understand on any technical level, Dan didn't have to do anything with his fingers to know what Slater was thinking. His ability to control the power was improving rapidly, as the messengers had promised, and all his index finger did was type 0319 at the end of the existing note on Emma's phone. Although he had gotten slightly used to the amazed reactions he'd received when telling first Emma, then Tara, and ultimately the others in Birchwood, this was the first time Dan had looped in anyone who wasn't a close friend or family member. And in this moment, Dan's nervous anticipation of how the reaction would play out was greatly heightened by the fact that Valerie Slater wasn't just the first stranger to find out that he possessed a gift positively alien to everyone else. She was the President of the United States. If Clark, or especially Emma, had viewed Dan's gift with fear and distrust, he would have had serious personal problems to work through. But if Slater reacted the wrong way and passed the entrusted secret onto the wrong people, Dan McCarthy knew he would have far greater problems than that.